God of light, illuminate our understanding this morning as we listen to your word, so that we might know your will and obey you more fully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is Psalm 92. Hear now the word of the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The dullard cannot know, the stupid cannot understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For your enemies, O Lord, for your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You've poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Hear now the word of the Lord. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I don't have a green thumb at all. For instance, someone gave me one of the Easter flowers after Easter, and I took it home, and try as I might, I watered it, I kept it in the sun, and I tried to do everything I could, but it just kept drooping and drooping. Like, it's so sad, and it eventually just died. So knowing that our scripture today had to do with seeds, crops, and gardening, I decided to seek counsel in places other than my sad attempt at keeping a flower alive. My dad is a farmer, and my sister is a gardener, both having worked professionally in their fields. So what do? I call my sister Hannah, and I ask her, "So can you tell me more about crops, weeds, and how things grow?" And what was her answer? After a long pause, she said, "Well, basically that's everything about gardening, so..." And we laughed, and she continued to illuminate me on the culture of the garden, the rhythms of the crop cycles, and the harvest, how the year flows, and how the climate affects things. I asked her what she knew about the mustard shrub, and she said, and I quote, No one would ever plant that on purpose. And I was shocked. And when I asked her why, she said, well, it will completely overrun your garden, and it will take over everything. She said that even though it has medicinal qualities to it, it's essentially a weed, that you'd want to root it out immediately if you saw it, otherwise the crops that you had intended to plant would be choked. And here I was thinking that mustard was a biblical plant, like that it would act nice, like Jesus-like. I mean, it's in the Bible. But Jesus is using this mustard plant intentionally as a metaphor for a reason. And we'll come back to that. But for now, I want to ask you a question. I want us all to close our eyes for a moment. And I want us to think of one action or one moment or one thing someone said or one small change in your life that resulted in something big. Something small that ended up having enormous ramifications. Can you think of one? I can. I think of how when I was young, someone from church mentioned to me, almost as a throwaway comment, so casually that they probably gave no real thought to it, but just said, you know, I think you might want to think about going into ministry. That one comment began my thinking and pondering and praying, and it was a seed planted that would eventually be confirmed by the community and grew into a deep sense of call to ministry for me. If you think of yours, I'd love to hear about it, whether it was for good or for ill. What we find is that small things, however backwards this may sound, really do sometimes have the largest of implications. They ripple out into infinitum and possess a sort of butterfly effect. The theme of little things permeates the gospel to an unmistakable degree. You might even say that the theme of little things has an enormous ripple effect itself over the gospels as a whole. These little things include little spats between disciples, little ones, meaning children, little faith, meaning Jesus' nickname for his apostles, little acts of faith, like touching Jesus' hem, small acts of kindness, like the woman pouring ointment on Jesus' feet, and something as small as our thoughts and intentions that Jesus cares about. And what is the one thing in all of these little things that is in common? That Jesus intensely cares. So much so that he says to the woman who touched his hem that her faith has made her well, that her lifelong hemorrhages were cured, and that changed her entire life as she knew it. So much so that he says of children that if you do not become like one of these little ones, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So much so that even our thoughts are capable of either indicting us or blessing us beyond measure. In thinking of these little things in our lives, we think small, like a time of change, or maybe think smaller, like a conversation. Think even smaller, like a smile. And smaller than that, a moment. Things so small, they sift and fall through our fingertips, like the tiniest of seeds. As seemingly insignificant as a grain of sand at the bottom of our beach bag. As elusive as a breath, so easily lost in the wind. But it is not so with God. To the God of the mountains and seas and stars, we'd expect that nothing less than the earth-shattering power of the largest of movements could have the ability to change anything or make any difference. But it is not so with God. Instead, our God of the mountains and seas works in the most intimate and infinitesimally small things to bring about beauty, love, and earth-shattering change. World-altering difference, or rather, kingdom-altering. For the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And it will completely overrun your garden and take over everything. For it is these little things that the world may brush off and call pointless or insignificant, these little things that the world may call us naive even to do because they wouldn't make a dent. It is in them that God works unimaginable power for change. It is not with an army or a brilliantly white horse that God ushers in his kingdom, but on a disheveled little donkey. The quote I began with, the quote that I was actually thinking about putting in the bulletin, about that was written by Margaret Mead, that said, "Do not think that a few committed individuals cannot change the world, for indeed that is all that ever has." It's an idea that I struggled with to comprehend at first, because for me, I think I struggle with thoughts, maybe as you do as well, thinking, well, what can that really do? What can one can of soup do to really help end hunger? Or what will one kind word really do to end loneliness? And while nothing is magic, and one person can't cure all the world's problems, Jesus' word to us today in this parable offers a mysteriously different answer when it comes to what God can really do with what is unnoticeably small. The answer to those questions, will it really do any good, is one we'd least expect. That indeed, it will overrun your garden. It very well might have an effect of a lifetime, and this kind of phenomenon is not lost on Jesus. For he tells us that this kingdom of God he speaks of began small and will spread unexpectedly and almost humorously above and beyond the fruit of our planned crops. As we remember, that the mustard seed is not only tiny, but it is an unruly weed that grows in places we wouldn't expect, literally uprooting our neat and desirable crops. The reign of God will, as one commentator puts it, like a fast replicating plant, get into everything. It will bring life and color to desolate places. It will crowd out other concerns. It will resist our manipulations. Its humble appearance will expose and mock pride like a parody show. As a result, some people will want to burn it all down in a pointless attempt to restore their fields. In short, he says, there is no gospel in which Jesus remains buried in the ground like a dormant seed. The kingdom of God, beginning so small you almost can't even feel it in your hands, is what some may call a weed, growing where you'd never expect, overturning our plans, and coming out on top, choking out our cash crops, and coming out as victor over the things we think should matter, over our neat and tidy understanding of how God is working, and over our carefully laid plans. The reign of God so unstoppable, so explosive, that nothing can get in its way as it spontaneously grows in our midst, pushing up shoots from the smallest acts of kindness, from the unnoticeable words of love. So be not dismissive of the tiniest of things, as God can and does bring to fruition out of them the greatest of shrubs. Do not underestimate what will come from our little seeds, for they may just overrun the garden. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.